Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Scott Rogers of the Verse 7 Ministries. We are fired up, and we are so thankful that you're listening through the podcast today. We pray that God will change your life in some way through this message. For more information, please check us out on the website at www.verse7.org. That's V-E-R-S-E, the number 7.org. Please feel free to interact with us through comment and email. God bless you.
Praise His holy name. As long as I'm alive, to glorify in Jesus' name. Praise His holy name. As long as I'm alive, to glorify in Jesus' name. Ain't nobody gonna stand in my way. As long as I'm alive, to glorify in Jesus' name. Ain't no tree gonna spread its branches. As long as I'm alive, to glorify in Jesus' name. Praise His holy name. As long as I'm alive, to glorify in Jesus' name. Ain't no Satan gonna stand in my way. As long as I'm alive, to glorify in Jesus' name. Ain't no woman gonna stand in my way. As long as I'm alive, to glorify in Jesus' name. Praise His holy name. As long as I'm alive, to glorify in Jesus' name. Ain't no jail cell gonna stand in my way. As long as I'm alive, to glorify in Jesus' name. Ain't no man gonna stand in my way. As long as I'm alive, to glorify in Jesus' name. Praise His holy name. As long as I'm alive. As long as I'm alive, His holy name, His holy name, His holy name.
This morning, we're going to talk about the heart. You see in your handout there, it says the heart, and I started to say, put my heart or something like that, or dealing with the heart or a matter of the heart, but I just thought the heart would be better. This morning, we're going to be turning to Matthew 18, verses 6 through 9. And as Brother Adam gets them pulled up there, I'm going to read out of King James. And just excited about this one. We've been dealing with the Lord's will for your life, and I hope and pray that every one of you have understood it from in the past 5 weeks, I guess, 6 weeks that we've been preaching it about God's will for your life, because I know no matter what anybody says, they all want to know what God's will is for the life. Should they do this? Should they do that? Should they marry this person? Marry that person? Everybody wants to know. So we just went to the scripture and laid it all out there. The notes are all back there if you weren't here and you want them from all the weeks. And we just excited about that and hope and pray that each one of you are now walking in God's will for your life. The next thing I thought, man, would be perfect, because remember the last thing I said last week was the God's will for your life is not necessarily dealing with you, who you should marry or where you should go, what mission trip you should go on, what ministry you should be a part of, what job, what so forth, so on. It's not necessarily primarily dealing with that. It's primarily dealing with you as a person. Is what each step in God's will is doing, and it's dealing with you as a person, which is a matter of the heart. It's dealing with the heart. So I thought being transformed and through we've been in the will of God and learning in the will of God for our life, I thought what a perfect opportunity to do this. And Chad had mentioned this. I think he just walked out. I was going to tell him thank you. But Chad had mentioned this some months ago, a couple of months ago to me, and I said, man, you know, that's crazy. I've been thinking about doing something like that. And so, I knew it was the Lord's time. Whenever the Lord said do it, we'd do it. And so I thought this would be perfect, and the Lord gave me the go-ahead on it, and I'm excited about that. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 6 through 9. I'll just read it off of here. But whoso shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it is profitable for him that a great millstone should be hanged about his neck, and that he should be sunk in the depth of the sea. Verse 7. woe unto the world because of occasions of stumbling, for it is, I was reading that thinking you had King James Version up there. It's okay, let me go right here. Go ahead and be putting King James up there, if you would, to get with the sermon this week. I apologize for that. Starting in verse 6 of King James, it says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Verse 7, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand and thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter life with one eye, rather than having two eyes and to be cast into hell." And so this morning, the first one you see there in your notes is we're talking about offended or been offended. Offending, I think I messed that up. Offended somebody, if you have offended somebody or been offended, and Scripture even says that if you've been offended, it's basically your fault. And we would go into that. I want to stay with this morning about offending others, you know, basically, I wanted to read that scripture to show you how important it is that if we offend others, what does Jesus say there? He says, man, it's better than basically what offense is, there's sin. That's what, if you read New King James or something like that, it's talking about sin is basically what he's saying. If you cause one of these, if you offend them or cause them to sin this morning or any time that... That it's better that you tie a millstone around your neck and be cast into the sea. And that's pretty serious stuff, amen? That's pretty serious stuff. So I wanted to lay that out there to show you how serious it was and what the Lord was talking about. He said it's better to pluck out your eye than to let your eye sin against you and to offend others. Matthew 5, 21 through 26, if you will turn there. Matthew 5, 21 says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever kills shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest," listen to this, "and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee," I'm going to repeat that, "therefore if thou bring thy gift to the altar," that be your offering, your tithe, or anything, "if you bring your gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." And what we see there is what Jesus is saying is if you have something, if you've offended somebody or somebody's offended you and you've taken offense and you've got aught between you and your brother, that you've got to go fix it. You see, this is something a lot of people don't want to hear this morning, but see, we're dealing with the heart, right? And we want a pure heart. We want a sanctified heart. Everybody say amen. We want to be sanctified. Excuse me. We want to have a sanctified heart and a pure heart. And we do. And I have many times in my life felt that I offended somebody or felt that I was in the wrong about something and had to go make it right, because I want to have a pure heart before the Lord. I want to be sanctified with the Lord. And if Josh don't mind this morning, I might use him as an example from something that just happened a few weeks ago. And it was really amazing how God really took control of this. But, you know, we do offend people. There's things that we say, things that offend people. We do things that offend people without thinking it all the way through, or without... maybe we think it all the way through. We don't think it would offend them, and we do it, and it offends them, and it hurts them. And the Bible says plainly that we should go and make it right with them no matter what, before we bring our offering, our gift to the altar, and before anything, it does not matter. We should make it Right, amen. And so last week, or a couple weeks ago, Josh came up. We've been wanting to redo the rec room and real excited about that. And Josh is doing a fantastic job. And Lauren is painting this big, beautiful tree on the wall. And I'm not an artist, so I'm splattering stuff everywhere, okay? That's just what I do because I'm not an artist. But I did the floor, me and Mike did. And I think Jeffrey helped a little bit. And we splattered on floor. It looks really, really cool in there. And but Josh came in and done his big verse 7 on the left wall and had it all tagged and pretty. I mean, it looked really, really good. And then I was up there one day, and we were splattering. We were going to splatter the ceilings. We wanted to hurry up and finish it up. Well, the splattering got a little bit on the wall, and then I looked at it, and I turned the black light on. I was like, man, that looks cool. That would look cool because it's black light paint, and when you turn the black light on, it glows really bright. So I was doing black light paint here too. And so as that happened, I was like, man, that's really, really cool. So I just began to dip it in there and sling it all over the wall, and it just began to splatter everywhere. And I was like, dude, this is awesome. I was having a blast doing it, okay? I was splattering it. And then I took the black light on, and it was just glowing these dots all over it. But then it began to run a little bit. So, but I thought, nah, it kind of looks cool. And so, well, Friday night came, and Josh came in, and I came up and talked to him, and I knew something was wrong with him. He didn't say anything, but then I went in the rec room, and I saw him in there, and I said, oh, did you see what I did to the wall? And he said, yeah. And I was, I'm hurt, dude. And I was like, oh, no. He said, I'm upset about that, man. I'm really hurt, dude. I put a lot into that, and it really hurt me when I walked in and seen that. And I was like, dude, and at first, flesh wants to get angry. Amen? Flesh wants to get angry. When you've offended somebody 90% of the time, your first reaction is defense. Your first reaction is defense and anger. Oh, well, okay. And so I said, well, dude, I can't do nothing about it, man. I'm sorry. What's done is done. Did I not? I said, what's done is done. And, you know, I that was just the way I said it. And I thought, man, no. I said, man, I'm serious. I apologize. But, you know, that can't nothing we can do. It's on there. I thought it looked cool. I'm sorry. You don't think it looks cool? He said, no, I don't, man. I was really, really hurt. And I said, well, I'm sorry. And I walked off. And then he walked off. We started worship. And I went in there. And as I was dealing or beginning to worship, God said, you got to make that right quick. And I'm like, Lord, I actually even thought about it, not him not liking it. So I went in there and tried to wipe it off the day before. It won't come off. Lord, how in the world am I going to make this right? Because I ain't repainting that wall, and I can't do what he did. So how am I going to make this right? And God said, you got to make it right. And so I began to pray as we were worshiping, and then I left. And as I was going in there to get some cleaner, Jenna comes up and talks about something else we need to clean up. So then I walk over there and do that. But I just quietly, and God said, this is your worship tonight. This is what I want you to do in your worship. And so I went in there and I turned off the light. Didn't really want anybody in there with me, didn't care. And I began to try to clean that stuff. And I prayed. I said, God, you're going to have to do this because this is paint on paint. It's not just going to come off. You're going to have to take this off. And I want you to know God took every single drop of that paint off of that wall. Took every single bit of it off of there because God knew I had humbled myself. I'd eat my humble pie, and I went in there, and I was going to make it right between me and Josh, man. I love my brother. He's half my backbone, okay? Most of you, you're the other ones, okay? But he does a fantastic job, and he helps me. He sticks with me, and he's done a fantastic job. And not only that, he's just a brother. He's like a brother to me, man, and I had to make it right. God said, make it right. And so I did. But what's so amazing is how when I'd humbled myself and I did that, the next thing you know, here comes Scott in there. And Scott come up, and I think Scott knew exactly what was going on, and he had felt it from the Lord, and he's come in there, and he grabbed a rag, and he said, can I help? And I said, man, no, that's cool, dude. You don't have to go out there and worship, and let me stay in my woodshed and take my whipping. And he said, are you sure, man? I really want to help. And I said, well, man, I can't tell you you can't help, but if you don't have to. And he said, well, I want to. And so he grabbed a rag and started helping, and then the next thing you know, here comes Patrick in there, and Patrick said, can I help? So Patrick grabs rag, and then there comes Brian in there. And you know what, man? The saints of God had just come together, and it was so mighty. It was so awesome. And I just began to tear up and was in there crying and thinking, man, how awesome was that, man? Satan tried to rip something apart, and it just takes a little bit. When you've offended somebody, you got to make it right then. You can't push it off because when the Holy Spirit convicts you about something and you have that pricking on your heart, like right now, some of you are thinking, man, I've offended so-and-so at work. I've offended this, and you need to be. I've left you a blank there. Right now, grab a pen if you're thinking of it and write somebody's name down while we're thinking, because you've got to do it right then. You've got to do it, man. If you put it off, then that conviction gets weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. I went to the altar for a solid year when I was a little kid. Amen. And I kept doing it and kept doing it. And every week it was like I would feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit. But if I'd say no, the next week it would be weaker. It wouldn't be as strong. You see, that conviction gets a little bit weaker, a little bit weaker. And before you know it, you forgot it. And you think, well, they forgot about it too. And so let's just let bygones be bygones. That's not the way it goes. The Lord said, you got to make it right. You got to make it right, okay? And so it was incredible as I came in there and did that and humbled myself and said, you know what? I'm the pastor, and you know what? People are, we're supposed to be working doing this together, but you know what? I had to humble myself, okay? Like God said, and go in there and say, you know what, I'm sorry. And then really finish. And when I finished it all, I didn't talk to Josh the rest of the night. I don't think he wanted to talk to me the rest of the night. And so when I finished, I took a picture of it on my cell phone. It was 12 o'clock by the time we got finished. Brian stayed in there and helped me all the way to the end. I appreciate Brian for that. And I took a picture of it, and I sent it to him, and I said, there you go, man, just like new. And I sent in this scripture that if I've offended you, then go and make it right. I sent in this exact scripture on his phone, and I said, man, I accept my apology. You're like a brother to me, and I didn't want to offend you, and I'm sorry. And he said, apology accepted, and it's all right. I hope it's right. Is it right? Amen? Everything's good. So the wall looks good, except for around the edges, but we're just going to paint around it anyway. So I didn't put any more elbow grease in that because our arms were hurting by then, brother. That was like 5 hours of scrubbing. So, but, man, it was amazing. And you see, you have to act on that. Like I'm saying right now, that's why I left you a big blank, because you're thinking about somebody at work, somebody at home, a family member, somebody that you've offended, or even that you've taken offense to something they said, and I want you to know you need to apologize to them. Hey, I took offense when you said that, but I apologize that I took offense. I should have let the blood of Jesus and put that under the blood and let it go. I should not have held that with me. I should not have held guilt in my heart or held that offense in my heart. I should have let it go. That Jesus is on me. The blood of Jesus should have bounced that right off. I should not have taken offense to that and should have let it go. So we should be calling them as well. I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles 19. This is really amazing. Just an example. And what's so amazing is I seen this just in reading one day, and actually just my Bible just opened, and I saw this, and I thought, wow, that's an awesome sermon one day. And I just knew that the Lord would put that together. But it's just, I mean, it's real, just kind of in there. A lot of people wouldn't notice it. But it's really, really amazing. In 1 Chronicles 19, it says, it happened after this that Nahash, the king of the people of Ammon, died, and his son reigned in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. You see what we've got there is David, after that, Nahash, the king of the people of Ammon, he dies. His son Hanun takes over. And then David says, you know what? His father was kind to me and showed me kindness, so I'm going to show him kindness because his father showed kindness to me. He says, so David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father, and David's servants came to Hanun in the land of the people of Ammon to comfort him. Listen to this in verse 3. And the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Did his servants not come to you to search and to overthrow and to spy out the land? Therefore Hanun took David's servants, shaved them, cut off their garments in the middle and at their buttocks, and sent them away. Then some went and told David about the men, and he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown, and then return. Verse 6, when the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, Hanun and the people of Ammon sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire for themselves chariots and horsemen from Mesopotamia, from Syria and Maacah, and from Zobah. So they hired for themselves 32,000 chariots with the king of Maacah and his people who came and camped before them, or before Medeba. Also the people of Ammon gathered together from their cities and came to battle. Now when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. Then the people of Ammon came out and put themselves in battle with in battle array before the gate of the city, and the king who had come were them the kings who had come were by themselves in the field. We're going to read all of this. Stay with me. When Joab saw that the battle line was against him before and behind, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians. At the rest of the people and the rest of the people, he put under the command of Abishai, his brother, and they set themselves battle array against the people of Ammon. Then he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help you. Listen to this. Be of good courage. Let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in the sight. You see what's going on? You see, he sent and tried to comfort him and send his people there, and he listened to his little people there. He said, no, man, he ain't trying to comfort you. He's trying to come in and spy the land. So now a battle's broken out, a war's broken out. So Joab and the people, verse 14, so Joab and the people who were with him drew near for the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. When the people of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fleeing, they also fled before Abishai, his brother, and entered the city. So Joab went to Jerusalem. Now when the Syrians saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they sent messengers and brought the Syrians who were beyond the river of Shapak. The commander of Hadadezer, his army, went before them. When it was told David, he gathered all Israel, crossed over the Jordan, and came upon them and set up in battle array against them. So when David had set up in battle array against the Syrians, they fought with them. Then the Syrians fled before Israel, and David killed 7,000 charioteers and 40,000 foot soldiers of the Syrians, and killed Shapak, the commander of the army. And when the servants of Hadadezer, I can't pronounce that one either, saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and became his servants. So the Syrians were not willing to help the people of Ammon anymore. I made it through all of that and only mispronounced one there. Might not be pronounced right, but I did it good, huh? I tried hard last night. I read this and read this and read this and repeated it and repeated it. When I get up here and start reading it fast, it's hard to do it. But you see what's happened there is he's trying to, seriously, David had a good heart. David was literally trying to comfort him. He sends his messengers and he's trying to comfort him because he just lost his father. And what happens? He begins to listen to friends. He begins to listen to people talking in his ears. He begins to listen to coworkers saying, your boss, man, that ain't really what he meant. That ain't really what was going on. He begins to listen to other people talking to him, and he gets offended, and he says, wait a minute, man, that ain't right. We're going to war with them. He takes his servants and strips them down and cuts their garments off and cuts their beards half off so that they would be ashamed in front of the people. Why? Because he listened to some other people talking in his ear. He listened to gossip. He listened to other people. He didn't listen to what was really going on. I believe that the Lord spoke to him when he first got there and said, yeah, this is real. But you see what? He began to listen to other people at school talking. He listened to friends talking and even people in the church talking. Man, Pastor, no, dude, Pastor meant that this way this morning. I think he was talking to you. You see what I'm talking about? Huh? I think he was talking to you, man. I can't believe he said that to me this morning. I know he was talking to me. Huh? Said that before? Man, I can't believe he preached that sermon, man, like that. He's condemning people. He just don't like me. He just don't like you. You've listened. I mean, it happens in the church all the time. Happens all the time. You see, we begin to listen to other people and we get offended because we're listening to them instead of the Holy Spirit that first talked to us. Amen. We begin to get offended and we let that take our blessings in life and we let that come between us and the Lord. You see, without a shadow of a doubt, I know with all of my heart, if I wouldn't have done what I'd done the other night with Josh, that would still be between us, even though I asked for his forgiveness, but I had not made it right. I did not make every point. I had not made every point, and it would still be between us, I believe, with all of my heart. It would definitely be between me and the Lord. Now, I want you to know this leads us to what? Leads us to the second step, which is forgiveness. Matthew 6:14 says it like this. Matthew 6:14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You see, here's the thing. A lot of people would say, well, what if that didn't make it right with Josh? Well, then that's between Josh and the Lord. You see, I done exactly what God had asked me to do. I went and I done, I mean, to the T exactly, thinking, you know what, God, that paint's not going to come off this wall. I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to do what you said to do. But you see what, after I done that, and then I said, Josh, will you forgive me? I have done what the Lord asked me to do. If Josh didn't forgive me, that's between him and the Lord. It's no longer between me and the Lord. You see what I'm saying? And we've got to forgive men their trespasses. We've got to. You know, when I came here, man, I so many times I seen people. Jeff was the first one that really jumped out at me, how quick he would say, hey, we got to forgive them. That's what the church is supposed to do. You know, and other things have happened here. Several things have happened here. But people have done things to us or said things to me and said things, and they'll come up to me and they'll say, can you forgive me? I say, well, yeah, I'm going to forgive you. That's what I'm supposed to do. My flesh don't want to forgive them, man. Wants to be mad at them all the time. Don't wants to stay mad. But my spirit says, no, we're going to forgive them because that's what God does for me. Christ came and died on the cross and bled for me so that I might be forgiven. Forgiveness is the key to heaven. That is the key to the kingdom of heaven right there is forgiveness. He said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, I can't forgive you of your trespasses. I want to be forgiven. How about you? You see, we got to forgive people. When they try to make it right and they come and ask us, we'll go to the next scripture there. I'm going to skip over to Matthew 18:19, and we'll come back to Luke. Matthew 18:19, He says, how many, somebody would say, well, how many times, man, people keep walking all over me. They keep doing this week after week after week. How many times would I have to forgive them? Matthew 18, 21 says this. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times, he says. Jesus said to him, I did not say, or I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. That's a lot. I don't think anybody acts of sin against you that many times, but if they do, Jesus said, keep on forgiving. Basically, what he's saying is it don't matter if it's past 70 times 7, you keep forgiving because I'm going to keep forgiving you. You see, he said, my mercy is renewed every day. My grace is sufficient, so therefore yours has got to be the exact same way, and you've got to forgive me in their trespasses against you. Are you with me this morning? Go back to Luke 23:34. Or skip over to Luke. Excuse me, we're not back. Luke 23:34, this is so powerful. One of those great moments. You see, so many times, man, somebody will offend us, and then they'll even come and say, man, will you forgive me? And, yeah, I forgive you. My father was the exact same way. I told my father, and I've told him this many times, I've preached about it several times, that my dad, things that I'd been hurt about when I was a child, not abuse or anything like that, not talking about anything like that, but just things with him and mother's divorce and things like that. I told him, I never really told him, and always kept it in, but through my drug use, I used it as an excuse to do things. It wasn't his fault that I'd done things. I was a grown man. I made decisions I made, but there was unforgiveness in my heart towards him. He had told me that he was sorry several times. He had cried to me and said, I'm sorry. And I said, I forgive you. But I never truly had forgiven him. And it just kind of happened one day after I'd been praying a lot and praying and praying. I really felt like this was a wall between me and the Lord that I had not forgiven my father. You know what? Don't matter how bad he hurt me, even if he did beat me, I'm still supposed to forgive him. He's human. He's a man. He was acting in the flesh. My spirit's supposed to love him and forgive him. He didn't beat me. He beat me with a belt now when I deserved it. But he never whooped me. Just abused me or anything like that. But you know what? I'm supposed to forgive him. That's what's supposed to happen. So that was a wall between me and the Lord, and I felt that. And so I finally, it just happened one day, I actually called him, and we were outside, and we were hanging out, and we went outside just to sit and talk. We were watching the sunset and talking, and one of the first conversations like that me and my dad ever had, and I said, Dad, I want you to know, out of the blue, he didn't know this was coming. I said, Dad, I just want you to know that I forgive you. I forgive you. And he said, well, thank you, son. And I think it kind of surprised him. He didn't know he was even going to be talking about that. But I just said, I want you to know that I forgive you. I truly forgive you. I've always said I forgive you, but I never did. But I actually forgive you. I really do. I found forgiveness in my heart. And I felt I was free after that. I really felt like I had taken a major barrier down in my life. And especially between me and my father. Our relationship was nothing but pure fake for the first, all those years. It was just like a fake relationship. We would laugh and cut up and have a good time. But that was a cover up for what was really going on between us. And so that was a break. And that night we talked about the Lord. We talked about things in his life that he had dealt with, and it was really, really awesome. It was one of the big barriers, breaking a barrier between me and my father, and it took me humbling myself and saying, you know what, I truly, truly do forgive you. So you see here in Luke 23:34, is it up there? There we go. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his remnant and cast lots. You see, Jesus had just been beaten. He had been whipped with the cat of nine tails 39 times plus some many. There's different amounts that people say, but he had been whipped with that cat of nine lashes, and he had been whipped with a cane, and he had been beaten for your stripes that you might be healed, and for your infirmities. He had been bleeding for our sins, and he was on that cross, and he was taking on all the sins of the world. He was taking on your sins and my sins. And what does he say? He looks down at the men that had just beaten him, that scripture says it was beyond imaginable. You couldn't even recognize him. He had been beaten and hit and spat upon and whipped so bad that you couldn't even recognize him. And he looks down at the face of the people who had just done that to him, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes, this is Jesus. This is all-powerful Jesus. But at that moment, he was flesh, and at that moment, he had sin on him also. You see, people want to say, no, that was Jesus. He could have called down a legion of angels. And yes, he could have. At that moment, he was Jesus. He was all powerful. But you know what? At the same time, he was all flesh. And he was not operating in all powerful, because he had all of your sins and all of my sins in his life and on him. And remember, Jesus said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? It was because he had just taken on the sins of the world, and God had to turn his back, because God cannot look at sin. God cannot look at sin. So God had to turn his back. And at that moment, Jesus was the furthest he'd ever been away from the Father. Hallelujah. I get chills thinking about it, because the Father was so sad at that moment. And Jesus was so sad that he said, Father, why has thou forsaken me? It wasn't the fact that he thought God had just left him to die there. It was because God can't look at sin. And at that moment, he took your sin and my sin. And what does he do in pure 100% flesh, not the power of God, but flesh? He says, I forgive them. Forgive them. So no matter what you do, what somebody's done to you, it ain't nothing what Jesus went through. And he said, in the face of the ones who had done it to him, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, we've got to look at people the exact same way. We've got to have that much love for people that we are walking. Yes, we're in the flesh. I was saying that, you know, Jesus was in the Spirit. Amen. He had the Holy Spirit upon him. Don't think that I'm saying he was living for the flesh. That's not what I'm talking about. He was flesh as in man. He was 100% man right there as well, okay? He had all man. He was just like me and you, and was in the face of adversity right there. And he looked at him and said, Father, forgive them. And we've got to have that same love. And the Spirit of God has got to be looking at people through us. And somebody said to me one time, man, Scott, I've tried to forgive this person. They keep on doing this and doing that and doing this. And I pray, and I fasted over this. I want to forgive them. I said, I've done this too. And I found forgiveness. And he said, man, but I can't find forgiveness. As soon as I do, and I walk up to them, I tell them I forgive them, they say some stinking smart aleck comment and do it again. Right in my face. I said, and you got to keep forgiving them. He said, I can't, man, I can't stand them. I said, you know what? And then I was reading somewhere, and it wasn't like maybe the next day or the next day, I was reading, and I saw this, and it jumped out at me and said, man, that's it right there. And in this book, I don't know what it was, it said, you know what? You can't forgive them. It's the Spirit of God in you that forgives them. You can't, some people you just can't like in your flesh. Let's come on, let's admit it. Come on, I can Jeff the two hands back there. Come on, there's some people in this world you're just not going to like, okay? You're just not going to mess with. You don't have the same personality or anything close. You're way unequally yoked. You're not just going to like them. They always make something smart comment. They always just look different to you. There's always something, because that's the flesh that does not like them. But the Spirit of God that is in you, the blood of Jesus that is in you, is what should be seeing them, amen? You should see them only through Jesus. You should be looking at them through Jesus. Is everybody with me? You should be looking and saying, you know what? I have to love them because Jesus loves them. So here's what I'm saying. You can't love them. Jesus loves them. So you love them through Jesus. If you didn't get your head around that this morning, we'll talk about it later. That was a little tongue twister there, but I believe everybody's got it. I'm feeling in my spirit. Everybody's with me this morning. There are some of them that you just can't love in your flesh, and there's no doubt about it. Let's be honest. Our flesh ain't going to love everybody. But the Spirit of God that dwells in you does love everybody, and that's how you do love them. You love them like Christ loves you. He said, love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. That was the second greatest commandment. Love thy neighbor as thyself. We're going to cover close to that this morning. So I get some water there. We do have to. And when I went back and told him that, he was like, wow, that's pretty awesome. I said, yeah, it spoke to my heart too, because I got people like that. Even though I'm a pastor, man, and I'm trying to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, and I'm doing everything I can, there are just some people, man, that I'm just like, when they come around the corner, I'm like, oh, you know, it comes again. Gonna say something smart, make me mad, offend me, you know what I mean, something. But it's not me that loves them. My flesh can't love. Flesh doesn't know how to love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is love. That's God. That is the Lord's love. Amen? So we see right there that Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He loved them at that point. That's the next one, or the fourth one we're going to see down there is love. Let's move on to the third step is need. I said we're going to be out of here by 12, and it's 12:05. I'm sorry. I'll do a part. 12:15, okay? We'll hurry through it. Need, Matthew 25:31. Now, we know that there are millions of needs in the world. There are so many right now. We've got Haiti. We've got so many things going on and so many needs in the world. And it's our time to answer them. Amen. We should be answering these needs. Matthew 25:31. If I can get there, I'm telling y'all to get there, and I can't get there. Hallelujah. Matthew 25:31 says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels, all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left hand. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Listen to this, verse 35, for I was hungry and You gave me food. I was thirsty, You gave me drink. I was a stranger and You took me in. I was naked and You clothed me. I was sick and You visited me. I was in prison and You came to me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see You hungry, feed You, or thirsty and give You drink? When did we see a stranger and take You in, or naked and clothe You? Or when did we see You sick and in prison and come to You? Verse 40, and the King will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of these, least of these, My brethren, you did it to Me. You did it to Me. You see the need in here. We're going to go on and we'll have a list in a minute, but you see we're gonna be thinking about people that we've offended or people that we've been offended by, and we're going to go ask for their forgiveness. We're going to see, number two, we're going to think of at least one person that we should ask forgiveness for or ask them to forgive us. One person that we've done something to, separate if we can, somebody else, will you forgive me for saying this to you a long time ago, even if it didn't offend you, will you forgive me? And the third one, we're going to find a need. We're going to find a need. You see, there are so many people out there, man, that need us and need the children of God who are blessed and are full of love and need us more than anything in this world. There's people right now in this community, and we'll go on into James and 1:27. You know what it says? This is pure and undefiled religion, to look after widows and orphans in their suffering. Amen. This is what we're doing. This is pure religion, to look after orphans and widows in their suffering. And you see, there's people in this neighborhood right now that need us so bad that all we got to do is go knock on their door and say, hey, can I wash your dishes? Seriously, can I wash your dishes today? I just want to wash your dishes. Can I come vacuum your floor? Can I come clean your house? Can I come pick up the trash in your yard? Can I weed eat even though it's wintertime? Is there anything I can do for you? Can I just stop by my neighbor riding home, whoever God tells me to, pull up in their driveway and say, I'm not crazy, but my pastor asked me to do this today. The Lord's dealing with me, and I saw you. I saw your home, and I wanted to stop in and just do a random act of kindness in your life. I wanted to show you that God loves you. He's pouring love through me, and I just want to share it with you. They might say, well, I go to church. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to change churches. That's not what I'm doing. I just want to show you that God loves you, and I want to love you. I just want to love you. I want to help you, okay? I want to do a need. I mean, look, when you're driving home today, if you turn out to the left, I want you to drive down through there and look how much trash. Every time I've passed that for 2 weeks, I've been telling myself to get out of the truck and pick. There's a big trash bag. All I got to do is pick it up, but I've not slowed down to do it. Now, I've been thinking about it. I just haven't slowed down. Every time I'm like, all right, on the way home tonight, I'll have more time. I'll stop and pick that up. Still ain't done it. We've done that. We've walked this road and picked up trash several times, and we used to do it almost every week or month at Teen Challenge. And, man, it takes forever just to get a quarter mile because there's so much trash out here. We call that road Dump Road. It used to be called Cut Off Road. Now we call it Dump Road because people dump so much stuff out there. You know what it does? And we've had people come up here, knock on this door and say, we saw you picking up trash out there, and we just want to say thank you for doing that for our community. Thank you for doing that. We appreciate that. Really wanted you to know that. And we've had I've had somebody come up to us at Stuckey's. Didn't have a clue how they knew me. I guess they just knew, seen us or whatever, seen the vehicle, came up to us at Stuckey's and said, hey, y'all the ones who are out there picking up trash. I'm like, yeah. And she said, thank you, man. It makes it look so much better out there. You see, maybe that's it. Maybe just take out of your driveway, start walking down the road with a trash bag. You ain't got to do it all day. You ain't got to do it for 5 hours. Just pick up a trash bag full. It helps beautify God's earth because people are trashing God's earth. I want to put a sign out there on Dump Road. May the Holy Spirit convict you, and may God treat you like you treat His earth. What I want to put on, that's what, I think it'll get some people. I mean, some of them are so far gone, I think that might not. But, man, we pray for them and pray that their heart will be changed. But, man, I want to put that big sign out there. May the Holy Spirit convict you, and may God dump on you like you dump on Him. Huh? What do you think they think about that? They'd be like, man, what church is putting there? They're a cult, man. Oh, but praise God, man. We can go out and we can do something like that. Man, we can clean somebody's house for them. We can do something today. I'm talking about today, not next week. I want you to do this all the time. What's so amazing, Brooke, at the Church of the Highlands, And Brooke has to do five things. He asked them to do that in their fast. Five things that they're going to change and do on the, in a daily life from now on in their life every day. And like prayer, reading the word, or one of Brooks is impacting somebody's life, which I love that one. So excited every time I think about it, and I call all the time, like, you impacted my life today, whether you know it or not. She's impacting many people's lives, and it's so awesome just to make that. And so you can carry out this list, and I mean, I'm asking you to go today and do this, and I would like you to keep this list and keep on doing it and keep sharing that love and doing that for it. I think it's a great thing Pastor Chris come up with down there. I'm sure it's been done before, but I think it's a fantastic thing. But this is our list, and this is what I want you to do. I was really, really burdened about offenses and about things like that because of what had happened between me and Josh, but it was so amazing how quick God mended that and how quick God done something when we were obedient. So this has really been on my heart. And about forgiveness, I don't want nobody walking through this life in unforgiveness. I walked through my life for a while with unforgiveness, and it was holding God's blessings back. So, and needing, people need something so bad. People today need something. Just stop by. And the last one there is what? Love. The last one there is love. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That'd be the bottom line of all this, is that you love them. That you love them no matter what. You love them because Christ loves them. You love them through Christ. And so today on this one right here on love, I want you to see, I got your list, 1, 2, 3, 4. And there's actually supposed to be either a D or A was supposed to be down there. It's supposed to be like A, B, C, D on 4. I want you to do 4 people there just to make the number of the things you got to do today, 7, just to be awesome about it. Amen. Y'all know me and that number 7. So number 1 is I want you to find somebody that you've offended. I want you to think back and pray. Man, pray, Lord, Holy Spirit. Maybe there's not anybody. Maybe you've lived just right. You've done everything good, and you've not offended anybody. And praise God to that. I hope that is the case with everybody. I hope nobody has to do it, but I want you to be obedient. And if God is putting somebody on your heart, I want you to pick up the phone, and I want you to say, you know what? I offended you, and I'm sorry. That was not what I should have done. I want to know what I can do to make it right. And if they say nothing, I want you to say, I'm serious. I have to do this. You need to understand. And then you look at them and say, don't take my blessing, okay? I've had a woman say that before. She, an old elderly lady at Walmart. Elderly lady. I'm talking about, I could tell without anything in me, she didn't have hardly any money. She was coming out in a little bitty bag of hardly nothing, and she was digging in her purse, man, and she pulled out a $10 bill, and she handed me. I said, ma'am, really, it's okay? And she said, hey, don't you take my blessing. I said, okay, give me that $10. I'm sorry. She said, don't you steal my blessing. She understood sowing and reaping. Amen. She understood the principles of heaven. So, you know what? If somebody says, no, it's okay. You don't have to do anything. Say, listen, I'm not doing this for my blessing, but God's going to, my blessings are going to start flowing when I've gotten this clear off of my conscience. Amen. When I've gotten this clear between me and the Lord. So, hey, don't take my blessing. What can I do to make this right? Everybody with me? The second one's forgiveness. I want you to think about somebody that you have unforgiveness for. Somebody in your heart, your father, your mother, your aunt, your uncle, your brother, your sister, your girlfriend, your wife, husband, anybody. Man, I went through that. I can't believe I did that without tripping up. Oh, come on. That guy, that should have got an amen, Pastor. That should have got a good one. Anybody that you have unforgiveness for in your heart that you can think of, it might have been 15 years ago that you have, that they've done something to you and offended you, then this is where that comes in, that you forgive them. And you call them and say, man, you know what? I shouldn't have kept this in, and I should have forgiven you a long time ago. I want you to know that I forgive you. God loves you. God forgives me, and I've got to forgive you. Will you please help me make this right? Can we pray together? Can you forgive me of what I've done for you or to you? And I want you to know, even if somebody that you think that somebody needs to ask forgiveness of you, that you've offended, or if I can say this right, that you've that they've done something, you think they should come and ask forgiveness, I want you to call them. And I want you to say, I want you to know I forgive you. Watch what God will do. They'll say, I want you to forgive me too. Guarantee God will take that. God will do that. If I said that right, I want you to call them. If you think somebody should be coming up and apologizing to you, the Bible says no. We should forgive and forget about that whole thing. So I want you to call them too, if you can think of it, and say, will you forgive me for thinking that you should forgive, that I should forgive you? That was a tongue twister as well. Amen. the need right there. I want you to write down one need today. I want you to go and wash somebody's dishes. I want you to go do something, clean somebody's room, clean their house, dust dust mop, do whatever. If you absolutely cannot find a need anywhere, I'd rather you go somewhere else, because we're always doing stuff here. I'd rather you go somebody in the community, a family member, something like that. I'd rather you go do that, or go to the streets out here. Go to Stuckey's, man. I don't know. Find somebody there and say, hey, can I do something for you today? I don't care if it's just come pick up your yard, do something, clean out your barn, anything. Find a need and do it today. I want you to do this today. Chad, you were gone a while ago when I said this was Chad's idea. Well, remember, we talked about this. You walked out when I did, and I told everybody about it. But this is what me and Chad had talked about. And thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. It was a good job. And the last one is love. I want you to put four people. I want you to think of four people, not that you tell every day, not that you talk to once a week, but somebody that you don't tell on a monthly basis, or somebody that you haven't told ever or in a long, long time, that you love them. I want you to pick up the phone today. Look, James is ahead. You, cheater. He's on it, ain't he? That joker turned around to four people. Love you, love you, love you, love you. Right here. He's a cheater. No, I'm just kidding. Four people in distant family that you haven't talked to. And I think there's a lot, I believe there's a lot, my family, there's people that have been, that are at a fence right now, and I'm going to send them the notes to this, which ain't much, but as soon as we get a copy of this, I'm calling my two aunts that I know right now, two friends of mine, and I'm going to call and send them and send them this, and I want them to hear this, because they have aught between each other, and they've got to get it gone. It's been holding them back from a love relationship. And so I want you to find four people right now, or today when you get home, pray about it and write down your list of four people that you have never told you love them, or can call and say, man, you know what, I just hadn't told you in a long time. Simply that. Just call and say, hey, you know what, you don't have to say my pastor told me to do it. Just call and say, listen, the Lord puts you on my heart, and I just felt that you need to hear that I love you. And be amazed, amazed, amazed. You ever had somebody come onto your heart all of a sudden, and all of a sudden you just want to send them a text message or call them? It's the same thing, man. God's going to deal with you. God's going to put, you already may have thought about it. God's going to put somebody on your heart, and you're going to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. You're going to call them and say, you know what? I just want you to know that I love you. Make amends today. This could be an exciting, exciting day in your life between a brother and a sister or friends or anything like that, that you can make this right with somebody you haven't talked to in a long time, or somebody that you just hadn't liked, or somebody like that that you have all between, and you can make this right. It can be exciting. You need to say something, brother? He's already thinking of people. Praise God for that. See, I had, in preparing for this sermon, I thought of so many people, and I'm excited about it. And just a really good day. It'll be a good day for tears and a good day of forgiveness, and I'm excited about it. So go make your list and pray about it. And I want you to do these seven today, before the day is over, before 12 o'clock tonight, I want you to do these seven. Like I said, if you can't think of anybody that you've offended, praise God to that. But I know that there's somebody that you can think of, maybe that you have forgiven, but you just haven't told them that you forgive them, and they're still walking around with guilt and shame thinking you haven't forgiven them. So I want you to do that. I want you to be serious about this and really, really concentrate on it. Is everybody with me? Say amen. Amen. All right, rise to your feet this morning. 12:16, not bad, huh? That's a world record. That's a world record for Pastor Scott.
We say to ourselves, I've been the bigger person, and I'm not doing it again. If they want forgiveness from me, they're going to have to come ask for it. I grew up in a horrible house with a horrible, horrible alcoholic abusive father. I saw him beat my mother for 18 years. I saw him beat her to where there was no white in her eyes. It was blood. He broke her arms. He broke her nose. I've seen him drag her out of the house and hold a gun to her head and make her pray and ask her, where's your God now? I would go years without talking to him because he had hurt me so bad. And I couldn't understand what I, you know, why couldn't he just love me and be the man I wanted him to be? Well, when I was an adult, I was grown, didn't live in his house anymore. I didn't see him very often, but I still loved him, and I would call him and I would tell him, I love you. He would always be drunk and find something horrible to say to me, so I'd just given up on him. I'd just given up, and I had prayed and prayed and prayed that there would come a day that I would see my father like the man God intended him to be. And in 2003, when he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I thought, okay, God, this is it. You've taken his family away through divorce. He's lost everything he's ever owned. My brother got killed in 95 when he was 26 years old, and I thought, you know, that's gonna be it. That's gonna straighten him up. So when he was diagnosed with cancer, I thought, okay, this is it. He was using crystal meth, smoking crystal meth, and cooking crystal meth in my grandparents' home. And I was just to a point to where I'm finished. I'm not going to do this anymore. He's on his own. But I knew what God wanted me to do. So I left my house with my husband. I took my child out of school and sent him to live with my mama. And I moved in with my daddy, and I took care of him for the last 6 months of his life. I slept with a gun under my head at night because I didn't know who was going to come in the house. But I had to forgive him for everything he had ever done to me. And it wasn't easy, and it wasn't fun. But he saw me being the person I needed to be, and being the Christian I needed to be, and being able to forgive him for all that. And praise God, through my actions, he got saved. A month before he died, he was a different man. And he told me that he was sorry for everything he had ever done. And he didn't know that God could forgive him. But he had. And he was a different man. It took me forgiving him and telling him that I loved him and that it was okay. And I truly believe if I had not done that, if I had not forgiven him and listened to my heart and what God was telling me to do, instead of that pride, and everybody in my family was like, you can't go do that for him. Look at what all he's done for you. Look at what he's done to you. How can you do that? You're taking time away from your child and your family, your husband. How can you do that? God told me to honor my father and my mother, and he told me to forgive. And I just wanted, maybe there's somebody here that needed to hear that, needed to know, no matter how bad, no matter how horrible you think the person has done to you, no matter what they've done to you, ask, and be willing to put your pride aside.
That's exactly right, and what's going to happen, I'm believing through this. That's why I'm so excited about you guys doing it. Somebody going out, one of those phone calls today, just telling me you love them. You know, my friend Jamie, he went to church and raised in church, but he said he walked out of a gas station. People had said, God bless you, I love you. People had prayed over him, they laid hands on him, went to the altar 100 times, but he was on drugs, and he walked out of a gas station one day, and somebody said, God bless you, and something snapped. Snapped. He got saved. I mean, it just snapped. A simple God bless you. So you never know, with the power of God and a prayer before you make that phone call today, saying, I love you, I forgive you, what's going to, just like that, her forgiveness towards him and showing God's love created his forgiveness and understanding that he could be forgiven and he was therefore a saved man, and she'll see him again on those pearly gates, amen? So be obedient to this today. God put this on my heart. Your pastor's asking you to do it, and God's asking you to do it. So I pray that you all do that. And this morning we're just going to play, or let James sing a song, and you can come forward and pray and ask the Lord to show you if you want. If not, just right there while you're sitting there, just ask the Lord. If today you need just any kind of prayer for anything, please do come up, and we'll just dismiss after that. Go ahead, bro.
This song is for everybody in this church.
Drowning Oh, Lord, I'm drowning. I said, I'm drowning. Yes, I'm drowning. Drowning in the tears in my eyes. Can somebody say Jesus' name? Oh, please, can somebody say Jesus' name? Can somebody say Jesus' name? Please, 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 can somebody say Jesus' name? 'Cause I'm drowning. Yes, I'm drowning. Oh, Lord, I'm drowning. Drowning in the tears in my eyes. Can we all go to heaven? Oh, please tell me we all can go to heaven. Can we all go to heaven? 'Cause I'm drowning. Yes, I'm drowning. Oh, Lord, I'm drowning. Drowning in the tears in my eyes. Can somebody save my soul? Oh, please, can somebody save my soul? Can somebody save my soul? 'Cause I'm drowning. Yes, I'm drowning. Oh, Lord, I'm drowning. Drowning in the tears in my eyes. They said the angels are coming. Oh, please tell me when the angels are coming. They said the angels are coming. Please, please, please tell me when the angels are coming. 'Cause I'm drowning. Yes, I'm drowning. Oh, Lord, I'm drowning. Drowning in the tears in my eyes. Can somebody pray with me? Oh, please, can somebody pray with me? Can somebody pray with me? 'Cause I'm drowning. Yes, I'm drowning. Oh, Lord, I'm drowning. Drowning in the tears in my eyes. All together, y'all. Can somebody say Jesus' name? Oh, please, can somebody say Jesus' name? Can somebody say Jesus' name? Please, 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 can somebody say Jesus' name? 'Cause I'm drowning. Yes, I'm drowning. Oh, Lord, I'm drowning. Drowning in the tears in my eyes.
I want you guys, some of you do know James, some of you don't. He's been here a couple of times before. James is, I guess I've known him going on maybe 3 years, two and a half, three. It's going on 3 years, I think, something like that. Since back when I was in Teen Challenge, where verse 7 started, began on the streets when I'd go out by myself. I didn't have any way to get out there, and Mama let me borrow her car, or Deidre let me borrow hers, or something like that. And then I met a friend that wanted to go, and we would go out street ministry, just walk the streets and witnessing to people and walking downtown Birmingham. And we would go week after week, or month after month when I'd get out, or week after week when I was an intern. And then after verse 7, we first started, we had a street ministry team. Still got it, we just hadn't been in a while. And I know James has been mad at me. He ain't been down there as much as I used to, but never have forgot about him, and I always went back. We used to go every Friday night and go visit him, and I've known him for years now, and just trying to see that need, but at the same time telling him, hey, you're going to have to, one day it's going to come when you're going to have to go and do this and submit, man. And I never gave up on him, and praise God, he never gave up on me. And I, like I said, and I went back Thursday, Brooke and I went out there. I just really felt that I needed to go out there and see him. I told Brooke it was her birthday. I said, I want to go out there, and I want you to meet somebody special. And so we went out there, and I bought him his trimmers. I was supposed to get him for Christmas, but I finally took him out there, and when I gave it to him, he said he was ready to call, and then he said, man, if you'll come pick me up Sunday morning, I'll go to Teen Challenge, and I'll get off the streets, man. And praise God. Yeah, so I've been overwhelmed with joy all weekend, man. Every time I love you, man. And every time I've thought about it all weekend, Brooke's just been like ecstatic. She's like, "Did he call back?" I was like, "Yeah, 4 times. Did he call back today?" "Yeah, 6 times." And I was like, "I said he's packing his stuff, and I hope this time's different. And I pray and I think this time's different. I'm excited about it, man. And just like Besley, he's gonna go on and for greatness. God has greatness for him. Amen. God has a big life ahead of James, and I believe it's definitely in singing. There's no doubt about it. Can you say amen to that? Huh? And we're gonna help him get that song produced, man. I ain't no doubt about it. Yeah, it's recorded. It's done right there. So we'll get it. Look, he's going back to check it out. He's fired up. We're excited about that, man. I'm fired up about what God's fixing to do in James' life. And praise God to be honored to be a part of it. Is it not? It's an honor to be a part of his life and to see one more sheep that had gone astray. And remember that? You clothed me. You saw me. I was hungry. You fed me. I was thirsty. We used to buy him 10 hamburgers every Friday night. And we'd bring him a thing of water. We bought him 10, 5 cheeseburgers and 5 chicken sandwiches Friday, Thursday night, and took him a thing of water. You fed me when I was hungry. You clothed me. You gave me. We've given him clothes. We've done every bit of that. And now look at the fruits of our labor. Amen. It's the fruits of your labor. And what an awesome day in the Lord. Amen. All right, well, let's dismiss. I want everybody to know that I have 2 gigantic pots of deer stew that you are all welcome to stay and eat as much as you want. I cooked so much for it Friday night, and didn't hardly nobody eat it. It's not because it ain't good. It's because it's too good, okay? It's because it's too good. But, man, it's good deer stew. It's up there ready to go. All right, we got to heat it up. Just had to give us a little bit to heat it up. But you guys, we'll heat it up there in the downstairs. The only thing is somebody promised to wash the dishes. Oh, didn't nobody jump on that one? The dishes, somebody still got to help me wash the dishes in my apartment because they're from where I cook for everybody Friday night, and we don't have a stove downstairs, so we're using mine in my apartment. But I'm going to do that. I got to clean real quick. But we're going, you guys, everybody's more than welcome to stay, and there's not so much meat in there, so you can pick it out if you're doing the fast and you're not eating meat, so you can pick out the meat. Welcome to stay. We love you guys, and thank you. Let's pray real quick. Father, we love you so much. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you so much, Lord, for speaking our hearts. We do believe this is a matter of the heart, God. We are believing that we're walking in your will, God. We're beginning to change our heart. You're molding and shaping this old miry clay, God, into a beautiful piece of clay, and God, into just a beautiful piece of pottery. And God, we're just excited to be a part of what you're doing, Lord. Just continue to use us, mold our hearts, change our hearts, God, to just make our lives radical, God. We're thanking you for all that you're doing, Lord. Just be with us as we go today, God. Speak to our hearts, Lord, as we pray and as we believe in God that you're going to show us exactly who to call and what to do. God, we're just leaning on the guidance of the Holy Spirit today. And lead us as we pray, Father, as we go make those phone calls and do those things. God, let it all glorify you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you. God bless. Again, thank you all for listening. Here at verse 7, we believe that all you have to do to be saved is confess and repent of your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. There is no certain prayer. Just speak from your heart. Tell him in your own words that you repent and you believe in him and you will be saved. If this is you today and you have done this and you accept Jesus into your heart, we just ask that you please let us know through email or comment on our website at www.verse7.org. That's VERSE, the number 7.org. And let us know so we might help you in any way that we possibly can and help you get plugged into an awesome home church. We thank you again and God bless you.